Take your Bibles and turn to the 18th Psalm, Psalm 18. While you're turning there, I'll just read to you the title of this psalm. It sets the context of where it was given. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul. So that's the backdrop of the psalm. As a matter of fact, if you would like to, you could go home and look at 2 Samuel and chapter number 22, and much of this psalm is right there, and it records David's thoughts. It records his time of praise to the Lord after the Lord had delivered him from Saul. You remember, David had an opportunity to deliver himself from Saul, but he realized that was not what he should do, and he let the Lord do it, and the Lord, of course, did a great work. So let's take a look. We're gonna start in verse number 30 and read a few verses to begin with this evening. So Psalm 18 and verse number 30. Before I go any further, appreciate that testimony from the hearse. That's a great testimony what the Lord has done there in Ecuador, and make sure you stop by. They'll be at the table there on the way out, and I'm sure be willing to answer questions and anything you need. But they were blessing today in chapel. I appreciate that message and your time you spent with the students. It was a blessing. But Psalm 18 and verse number 30, the Bible says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is our God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us now as we look at your word together. Please take it and use it to apply it to our hearts and lives. Lord, thank you for the song and the reminder that your grace is sufficient, that you are with us wherever we go. We need to learn to trust you. We need to learn to depend on you. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think about the context of the psalm and when David wrote this, the tone of the psalm is pretty remarkable. Think about the things he had dealt with up to this point. He had defeated a lion and a bear in his father's field. Now that was all might have seemed like an incidental part of life. Wow, you know, that's a neat thing that this young man did, but that was clearly a part of God's preparation for him. He would then go on to defeat Goliath. What did he talk about when he faced Goliath? What did he refer back to when he faced Goliath? He referred back to the lion and the bear that he faced in the field. You see, David was learning things through all this. He knew. We started in verse 30. He said, as for God, His way is perfect. He said, God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't allow things into our life by mistake. He went on down and he talked about the Lord's way is perfect, and he talked about in verse 32, he says, and maketh my way perfect. Friend, we serve a perfect God who does perfect things to make the way of His people perfect. Now we get in trouble when we try to go our own way. But consider that, remember that. We serve a perfect God who does perfect things. He always does right things. Who does perfect things to make the way of His people perfect. So He dealt with the lion and the bear. He stared down and faced off against Goliath. God prepared him for that, and he dealt with that. He was then given favor with Saul, and he sits in the house of Saul and pulls his feet up under Saul's table and enjoys the company of a king, until one day Saul is angry at him and he throws a javelin his way, and David has to dodge that, and it goes into the wall behind him, and that would lead to a series, of course, of circumstances born out of Saul's jealousy, where David would spend a considerable amount of time on the run. He would have to deal with false accusations. He would have to deal with being out in the wilderness, being in the inclement environments, and dealing with a group of people. The Bible describes them as those in debt, people basically trying to get away from the world around them, and those became David's men, and that's who God gave him to help him through this. And he had all this, he was dealing with Saul in the background and fleeing from him and all of that that he dealt with, and God brought all of that to a finality so that he could then go on to what God had for him in his life. And with all of that in mind, knowing that God was at work in preparing David, God has confessed that David's confessed his way is perfect and he's made my way perfect. In other words, he has done right and he has put me on the right path. And given all the circumstances that David had to deal with, I want you to look at verse number 35 again. He says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath hold me up." And notice this phrase. He says, "And thy gentleness hath made me great." If I were David sitting back from a human standpoint thinking about the trajectory of his life up to that point, I don't know that I would have described it as gentle. But David realized something. David realized something about God. What he made here was a tremendous theological statement. And it's this, that God deals with His people in gentleness. God is not, as the false religions you could name about anyone. And one of their misconceptions about God is that God is this harsh, angry being who is waiting for someone to do wrong, waiting for someone to mess up so that He can just vaporize them in an instant. And we laugh at the Greek concept of gods and goddesses and, you know, lightning bolts and Zeus and all that is with that. But really, friend, every religion that is not of the Bible and of His Word basically teaches that same thing, that there is no relationship to be had with God. We deal with it here when we witness to our friends and our neighbors and we ask them a question, "Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven someday?" And we get the answer, "Oh, I hope so." And you and I know, if you've talked to those people enough, you know that "hope so" is not a firm hope that we have. It's not a, "Yeah, my hope is in heaven." It is, "Boy, I sure hope that God will be happy enough with me to get me there." And you know what? Even as believers, we can fall into the trap of looking at God as this fierce being that is out to get me. But I want you to consider this and remember this, that God is not out to get us. He is out to grow us. He said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." David here was not professing out of proud boastfulness his own greatness. He wasn't saying here, "Look at me." The word "great" here in this case means it means to increase or to be in abundance. He's acknowledging that at one point he was in the shepherd's field, and God took him from the shepherd's field and he put him then in the king's palace. God had grown him to a point to where he would be able to handle that and where he would be able to deal with that. And he said God did that in his gentleness. Gentleness means here condescension or humility or meekness. It shows that God, who is high, mighty, and holy, graciously works on and in the life of the believer. Say, "Well, I don't like the circumstances." God's dealing with you in his gentleness. It's amazing to me, when you think of the expanse of the universe, you think about the creator of the universe and the God of heaven that created it all, that he would even acknowledge my existence is a phenomenal thing. But that he would then not only acknowledge my existence, but that he would care enough about me to send His Son and die on the cross for my sins, and that He would be buried and rose again the third day. And He did all that for my sins and for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. When you consider that in the context of His great creation, friend, you cannot indict God with being harsh, mean, and cruel. He said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." There are people that live in fear, Christians. They'll live in fear about, oh no, what, you know, God, Brother Hurst talked about missionaries, talked about recruit. Can you believe he went and recruited, took a preacher out of Vermont and sent him to Ecuador? I mean, here we are trying to, and he's just taking them right away and sending them to Ecuador. But, anyway, that's all right. We'll forgive you for that, brother. That's good. But here, you know, missionary, gonna, you know, to be a missionary and go along the way. And there's plenty of people who God has dealt with their heart, and they go, "Oh, I can't do that. That's too hard. That's too harsh." Listen, God deals with us in His gentleness, friend. God walks with us every step of the way. He is not out to get us. He's out to grow us. And you say, well, He has put, the other week we preached on that step of faith, and it's a day by day step that we take. But there are times where we come up to a crossroads of life where we have to make a big decision. We need to remember God will grow us as we yield to Him, and He will do so out of His gentleness, not out of His harshness. I want you to think about some things just right out of this psalm, just some things about that express and show the gentleness of God. First of all, God knows them that are His. God knows them that are His. When Jesus walked the earth, His disciples get a little worried. And He reminded them a few times, you know, listen, I know the sparrows. But you know He knows you. You know He knows your name. He knows where you live. You know He knows your fears. He knows what you're good at. And that's silly to think when you think about the context of who God is. He knows what you're good at. He knows what you're bad at. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you can't handle. Look at what David said about God's knowledge of Him in verse 20. He says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity." He said God knew that God knew my heart was right towards Him. God knew that I was working to stay away from sin and not to stain the garment of the with the flesh and with the sin of this world. God knew those things. God understood those things. He said He rewarded me according to my righteousness. Doing right does not always guarantee fair treatment from this world, but it does guarantee an expectation of the promises of the Lord being fulfilled. Why? Because God knows when you do right. God knows them that are His, and He knows how to deal with them that are His. He knows us inside and out. In this case, His knowledge of Him was a great blessing, but you know, God also knows when we're wrong. And He talks about that in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter number 12, go ahead and turn there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know about you, but I never liked being punished as a child. As a matter of fact, I hated being punished as a child. But you know what? I understood, and I had good parents that loved me. My mom tells me she listens to these recordings sometimes on the internet, so I have to get that in there. I'll make sure I knew my parents loved me. Whether she was listening or not, that's true. But I knew that. I knew that they loved me. My parents loved me. And because of that, I understood even that their chastening was never done out of harshness, ever out of meanness. It was always for my best interest, and they always had my best interest in mind. And look at Hebrews 12 and verse 6. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." We think about the chastening of the Lord, think that's a negative thing. Listen, friend, in His gentleness He chastens us. He chastens us not because of a harshness, and not because He's out to get us, but because He's out to grow us. He wants to, just like you, if you have kids, you chasten them to try to purge things from their lives that are going to be counterproductive to them later on in life. God likewise knows us, and He knows every detail about us, and He knows things that need to be taken out of our lives because they are going to be counterproductive to what we do one day. David faced Goliath, but before he faced Goliath, God sent a lion and a bear. Why? In His gentleness, He was preparing him to face Goliath. He said, he can't handle just going against Goliath. But I'm going to let him whip this lion and this bear, and I'm going to show him through that I'll be with him when he goes and faces Goliath. So it seems hard, seems harsh. It's not harsh, it's out of gentleness. He knows us. He knows when we're right. He knows when we're wrong. He knows how to correct us, and He corrects us always out of love. There's not a parent in here that could say, you know, I've always, every time when I've corrected my children, I've always done it with the best of attitudes and the best of intent. No, we are bound by flesh, but you know what? God has always done it perfectly, and He has always done it right. And there might be something right now that where His chastening is happening. You say, I don't like it. Well, hey, it's only because He knows you, and He knows you need it. And in His gentleness, He's preparing you. He knows when we're right and wrong. He also knows what we can handle. In His, it says in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Say, well, I can't do that. God knows what you can do. I'm not capable. God knows what you're capable of. He knows all of those things. And He knows what we're capable of beyond what we even know. You know, He tells us that He gives us a way of escape from temptation. You know, there's all sorts of folks that are bound by sin right now that can't get out of it, that can't, you know what? God said, listen, I've given you a way of escape. You see, in His gentleness, He knows who we are. He knows everything about us. The second thought out of the psalm here this evening, God, in His gentleness, accompanies us through the difficulties of life. God accompanies us through the difficulties of life. Look at verse 4. Up to this point, God led David through many difficulties. And now look at what he said about it in verse 4. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me. Back in Psalm 18. The sorrows of death compassed me. And the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. I don't know about you, but when I think about David, I think about a tough guy. But here David is admitting something. He said, I was afraid. He said, I was scared. God said, God was with him though. Verse 6, or verse 5, then the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was wroth. There went up a smoke out of His nostrils and fire out of His mouth, devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub, and He did fly, yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret place. His pavilion round about Him was dark waters and thick clouds and the skies. David is accounting his turmoil that he dealt with when he was running from Saul, but what he is telling us is that he realized that, hey, even on the darkest day, God was there with me. In His gentleness, He was there with me. He said in verse 11 that he made darkness His secret place. Boy, life, you don't have to live it long to know that sometimes there are dark times. To know that times that you can't see the way out. You can't find the exit. It's just dark. But he said that in those times where he was running from Saul, that he found out that God was hidden there. I can imagine him in those caves. There were multiple times where he was in a cave. And it was dark. It's a dark place to be in a cave. I grew up, we went to this place called Linville Caverns. It was a cave. I guess all I can say about it. I don't know. I mean, it was so dark in there that there were a little stream that went in and out of it, and there were trout that lived in this stream, and they were blind because they lived in darkness. Their eyes were not exercised to light. And so they had tours that would take them through there, and they would had it lit up electrically. And then they would get you in the cave, and they would have you hang on to something, a rail or the person in front of you or whatever was available. And they would turn the lights out. And there's not many things that are darker than being in the heart of a mountain with the lights out. And David had spent time in those situations. No doubt lonely, no doubt alone, calling out to God. Sure, he had men around him, but he didn't know the way out. And in his loneliness there, he called out to God, and God responded. It was a tremendous response. He talked about the earth shook and trembled, and God let him know. But in those times of darkness where he's there calling on the Lord, it's like he heard a voice come out of the darkness and said, "Hey, David, I'm right here. Where were you, God?" "I was right here all along." There was a time Saul lay down to sleep in one of those caves. And David was hidden in the edge, and his men were saying, "Hey, go kill him, take his life." But God was there with him going, "No, David, I'll take care of things." You see, God can even make his habitation the place of darkness when he needs to be with us to get through it. He will dwell there with us to get us through it. God, he said, "In his gentleness has made me great." Often his leading, the leading of the Lord, is one step at a time. But with each step, we can see his involvement. Look at verse 36. Psalm 18:36, the last verse we read in our initial reading, he says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." You ever faced something in life where there was so much uncertainty, but you had to take a step forward, and you thought, "I'm pretty sure I'm just going to fall, and this is going to be the end of it all here"? I mean, you've been there before. David said, "I took a few of those steps, and when I went to take them, what seemed like nothing was there. God just enlarged it before me to where it caught my foot. I was on firm ground, and I realized, you know what? God did have a plan through this all after all." He said, "In his gentleness, he's made me great." We do hastily run ahead and slip. That's our nature. You ever fall? You ever fall flat on your face? You ever make that mistake? You ever trip? You ever get away from the Lord? Again, you read this, you think about a parent with a small child, and how many times you see a kid run, you know, they pull away from mom or dad, and they're running, and you're going through the parking lot, and it might not be, you're worried about a car, but you know, man, they're about to face plant right in the asphalt right now. Sure enough, it happens. You know what a good parent does? They go right along beside them, they pick them up, they wipe them off, they hug them, and in their gentleness, they help him along. He said, "In thy gentleness has made me great." Third thought out of the passage. So God knows them that are his. God accompanies us through the difficulties of life. And then the third thought, God's desire is to lead us to things that are greater. That's always his desire. His desire is to always move us forward. David had plenty of opportunities to get discouraged and quit. However, he always had a sense of God's guidance. You can see that in verse 30. He had a sense of God's presence. You can see that in verse 6. He had a sense of God's protection. You can see that in verse 2. That even when he wanted to go back, even when he wanted to give up, even when he wanted to quit, that God was there with him. God, because God was wanting to advance him and move him to the next thing. So even when things are difficult, always remember that God's desire is to lead us to greater things. I'm reminded of Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He wrote this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God's will is for you to always go forward. Whether you've made a mistake, what does He want you to do? Get it right and go forward. Whether you're facing difficulty, what does He want you to do? Weather the storm and go forward. You say, well, I didn't create the circumstance. God's desire is still to go forward. Say, I messed up. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, we deal with the past and leave it in the past, and we go forward down the path that God has given us to go, pressing towards that mark. What's the mark? It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That New Testament mark is being Christ-like, being conformed to the image of Christ. And when God saves us, from the moment He saves us, we are on that journey to becoming like Him. And He leads us through that, not through His harshness, but with His gentleness, He leads us from step to step. And that's God's desire, student. God has a goal for you. And there's going to be times where you question His goodness. You may even question His gentleness. But remember that God always deals with us gently, even in correction. So what should we consider of all this? How should this affect us? Well, remember this. Again, I remind you, He's not out to get you. He's out to grow you. Trust His presence, even when you can't see Him. Say, well, I'm struggling right now. He's there. Call out to Him. You might out of the darkness hear that still small voice, just like Elijah did, letting you know that He's with you. But also our demeanor toward others should be a reflection of His gentleness to us. I don't have time to go there, and it really would be a whole separate thing. I actually taught a whole Sunday school series on the passage, so trust me, we're not going there tonight. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, God talks about the things we add to our faith. You add to your faith virtue. It always starts out by faith. You add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and it goes down. And you know what the last things that He says we're to add? He says, and 2 Peter 1, 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. You know, that's what we should be adding to. That's what we should be getting to. There's some people that think that the pinnacle of spirituality is being able to, you know, growl at everybody else. But that's not how our God works with us. He said our gentleness has made us great. Say, well, you know, I got this teenager in my house. They don't act right. They don't know how to act right yet. It's our job to teach them. So I've got these children that I'm raising. You know, why don't they? Because they can't. It's our job in gentleness to guide them. Say, well, does that mean we don't know? It means we correct them. We correct them in the way that God corrects us. So I've got these students in my Sunday school class, these riders on my bus route. They don't listen. They sit up. They run around. They climb over the seats. They say, hey, listen, what if God stopped working on you the first time you messed up on Him? It should affect our demeanor towards others. Why? Because in His gentleness, He is seeking to make us great. He's seeking to grow us. He's seeking to take us to that next step. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day.